The Apostle Paul wasn't joking. The Apostle Paul wasn't joking when he talked about fiery darts of the wicked one. I want you to know we are being shot at. Anybody else get that sensation that we're being shot at by the enemy? Come on, church. What about it? Homes, marriages, people, situations? So aren't you glad you can say, He is my shield? Amen. He'll be that shield, that fortress. Praise God. If you want to go ahead and turn in your scripture, you can. I think I'm going to have you turn to Mark 11. Now, I told you this morning, I believe it was in the sermon, but I fully intended for another installment of our Pursuing His Presence tonight. I was going to preach about pursuing His presence by doing His work. And we'll talk about that another night. But in the service this morning, I just felt like we needed to talk about that donkey. I just really thought we needed to talk about him. I believe the Lord wants to speak to us about that. Let's go ahead and stand. I want to read a few verses before we get started here. And I'm going to do this differently than most people talk about the donkey. There's a lot of things to be said about it. You know, it was loosed. It was at a intersection, a crossroads, and all of this. It's going to be different from that. So Mark chapter 11, verse 1, and when they came nigh to Jerusalem and to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples and saith unto them, Go your way, this is Jesus speaking, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as you be entered into it, you shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, Why do ye this? Here it is. Say ye, the Lord. That's it. That's it. What's the answer? The Lord. That's it. The Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met. And they loosed him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, What do ye loosen the colt? And they said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded. What did Jesus command say? The Lord hath need of him. That's what they said. And when they said that, what happened? They let him go. When they said, the Lord hath need of him. So I'm going to preach tonight on why all that about the donkey. Why all that about the donkey? Father, speak to us. You're the mighty God, our creator and our redeemer. Lord, you're intimately acquainted with our lives tonight, all of your people that are gathered here. Lord, and I pray you would speak to us in a pointed way that we would leave here with a sense of your sovereignty, a sense of your power, a sense of your involvement in our lives. Lord, anoint me to speak these words in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Now, I always start trying to get your attention, so don't get bored when I hold this up and start talking about it. One of the things I love to do, how many knows there's four Gospels? So when I'm preaching something from the Gospel, I love to find each account of it, and I make four columns. And for each column, if it's in all four Gospels, as this story is, I failed to mention, this story is so important, the triumphal entry, that it's in all four Gospels. So I got a column for each Gospel, and I put Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then I begin to space the verses so that they correspond as you go from right to left. I'm trying to explain it. Let's see here. And so these verses correspond. Wherever you see a space, well, that doesn't correspond until it gets right here. I love doing this. And then I just sit and read this over and over, the different Gospels. The reason I brought this up is because when I did this, I noticed something. Now, look, this whole story about Palm Sunday is only less than 2 pages long. There's hardly anything of two of the Gospels on the second page, right? So most of the story is on this front page. But I want you to notice here. We preached this morning about his triumphant entry, but from here to this line, over half the front page is about the donkey. And in Mark's Gospel, from here clear down to here is about the donkey. The rest is about Jesus' triumphant entry. And Luke, from right here, clear down to here, is about the donkey. And John wasn't at all impressed. He didn't mention him hardly, just that Jesus got on him and rode him. But three of the gospel writers spent an enormous bulk of this story talking about the donkey. So don't you kind of think with me, and that was my conclusion, that that must mean something. How many noticed even when Sister Dearth was reading the account this morning, it's talking about the donkey. So why all this about that donkey? You know, really the only thing that mattered about that donkey is that Jesus had it to ride it, because in riding the donkey into Jerusalem, that signified to the people that the Messiah, the king, had come to Jerusalem. He was declaring himself king by riding that donkey. Amen. And how he got the donkey really would seem to me to be an insignificant detail. I mean, what's the point? Why is the donkey getting so much attention from the gospel writers? Well, let me briefly tell you the story, and then we'll look at that. You see, Jesus had spent Saturday night, and the timetable, it would have been last night, at Bethany, at the house of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. In the morning, he prepares to go to Jerusalem, so they head west, and they begin to climb the Mount of Olives, and Jesus calls two of his disciples aside, and he says to them, "We're going to need a donkey today. I want you to go over to the village of Bethphage. And I want you to go into that village. And as soon as you enter the village, you're going to see a colt tied. It's going to be a wild one. It's not been tamed. No one's ever sat on it. And when you see it, you begin to loosen it, to bring it to me. And if anybody says anything to you, simply say unto them, 'The Lord hath need of this.' And they're going to let you bring it." And that's exactly what happened. They went to get the donkey. They was unloosened. And they said to the owners, who said, "What are you doing?" They said, "The Lord hath need of this." And when they said that, the owner said, "Okay, take it." Now, if you don't think that's unique, try that with someone's car after church. Well, these young family men pull up close to the door, leave their car running to come in and get the kids. And they come out, and you're sitting behind the wheel, shutting the door. And they said, "What do you think you're doing?" And you say, "The Lord hath need of it." And you drive off. How many think that's going to work too well? It worked with a donkey. What in the world is going on? You know, my thought is, you know, there was a big crowd of people around Jesus, right? And they're pilgrims headed to Jerusalem. Don't you think anybody else around Jesus had a donkey? Didn't somebody in the crowd? I'm convinced that they did. I mean, even today you go there, there's donkeys with the people everywhere. But you see, it would have been nothing extraordinary of getting a donkey from the crowd, because if this donkey is accompanying the crowd, that is a domesticated one. That is a tame donkey. Anyone could have ridden it. You see, we get our first clue here why Jesus didn't get a donkey from the crowd but sent for one. He sent not just to a village, but he sent for an untamed donkey, one that had never been ridden. And that's our first clue tonight. So I'm going to answer that question. Why? Well, here it is. I want you to take this home with you. First of all, thus, all this about the donkey is to show us God is control. Excuse me. God is in control despite the chaos. God is in control despite the chaos. You see, some folks have said that Jesus made prior arrangement. He went to Bethphage. He talked to the man, and he said, "I'm going to send two disciples. They're going to come get this donkey." And he had made prior arrangement. Don't believe it. If that were true, those owners would have never asked the disciples, "What are you doing loosing this donkey?" If Jesus had made prior arrangement, they would have never asked that. And there'd been no real lesson and reason in it. Amen. The disciples would not have been compelled, as they obviously were, to take so much space in the gospel to describe this if Jesus had made prior arrangement. It's the fact that Christ hadn't made prior arrangement. Amen. It happened this way for one reason: to show that God was in control, even of a Bethphage village and a wild donkey tied there of the events that's taken place. Look at that one verse one time. Even just one detail shows us what's going on. And I already emphasized and emphasized as I read. He said, say you to them when they ask you, the Lord hath need of him. You see, it's about the authority of Jesus. When Jesus wants something done, and when Jesus decrees something done, it's going to be done. He has the authority. We need the donkey. The Lord says, look, it's going to be loose. It's coming to Jesus. But it shows without prior arrangement that Jesus had controlled as God. He had controlled all those events that were taking place with the disciples in the village and the donkey. Jesus was in control. Amen. Why is that important? Because it's going to get really chaotic for the disciples in the next moments, in the next days. I want you to think just some of the chaos. That crowd that was crying, Hosanna, in short days would be crying, crucify him. Crucify him. One of their own, one of the disciples, is going to be a traitor. He's going to betray the Lord, one in their midst. Amen. In the very middle of the night, Jesus is going to be arrested. The disciples are going to flee in all different directions. And one of the closest disciples is going to deny that he ever knew the Lord. And Jesus, arrested, is going to be dragged from ruler to ruler on trumped up charges. And Jesus' followers can't comprehend everything that's going on. I'm telling you, in the days to come, there's going to be a lot of chaos. And so Jesus had this event with the two disciples and the donkey and how everything worked to show that he was in control. To say to his disciples and his followers, when it gets real chaotic, it's not just chaos. Everything that's happening is happening according to the will and the plan of God. And what looks like to you chaos, you've got to understand behind it all, God is in control. God is working. God is still Lord. His authority still holds power. That's why those disciples wrote so much about it, because they got that lesson. In total chaos, God is things are happening according to God's plan. You see, how do we know the chaos is God's plan? Because they tried to kill Jesus before. We've been preaching that through the Gospel of John. They couldn't do it because it wasn't time. But they're going to kill him this time. Did you know this is all control? Because Jesus said, I'm going to Jerusalem to be killed, to be arrested and killed. He knew when he mounted that donkey, he knew he was riding to arrest, riding to death. And so what appeared chaos, the arrest in the night, being dragged from ruler to ruler, that was all in the will and the plan of God. The Lord hath need of him. He's still in control, even in this moment. Oh, somebody say amen. The arrangements of that donkey show this. And beyond all of that, beyond the events, is the fact that donkey was untamed. If you and I had have got on its back, we would have come off very quickly. Or if we succeeded in sitting there, it would not have obeyed our commands. But I'm telling you, it never bucked when the Lord sat on it. And it followed his commands, went when he desired to go and stopped when he desired to stop to weep over Jerusalem. What am I trying to say? Again, the lesson is, he's still Lord. Oh, it's going to look chaotic. It's going to be dark. It's going to look like the Romans are in power and the Jewish leaders are in power and even the devil's in power. But behind it all, the disciples know he's in control. So why are you preaching this, preacher? Because many times things get chaotic in our lives too. Some of you can have a chaotic week. How many would like to be real honest and say, I had a chaotic week? It looked like everything was spinning out of control. I've seen several hands. Things get chaotic in our life. You may lose a job. The kids keep getting strep throat. The car engine blows up. Your friend moves away. You suffer one attack in the night after the other from Satan. There's chaos. Chaos. But if you're a child of God, you need to understand something. The Lord said, even in the chaos, He is in control. Secondly, tonight, what's this all about? This donkey all about? Because God gives meaning to the ordinary. God gives meaning to the ordinary. You know, the disciples sensed something extraordinary was about to happen because the Lord was acting differently. Did you know Jesus never rode a donkey? Nowhere else in His ministry. Never. They knew something significant was going to happen. And knowing the Old Testament scriptures, they began to get it. This was going to be an extraordinary day. Now, I want you to think of something. 12 disciples. Jesus calls two of them aside. All this action's happening. There's a big crowd there, and folks are excited about Lazarus being raised from the dead. And someone says, tell us again, Lazarus. And the crowd of pilgrims is building on the top of the Mount of Olives. And down in the city, the festivities are getting underway, and it's the great time of the Passover. And people can tell that something's about to happen. And Jesus calls two disciples and says, got a job for you to do. I want you to go over to the village. Walk over there. It's quite a distance. Go over there and go get a donkey. Leave the excitement. Leave the crowd. Leave Him. Leave everything that's going on and go do a menial task. You know, it's like someone telling you, go get a shovel, you know. Get you away from the... How many's ever been a gopher on a job? You can tell they're trying to get you out of their hair. Go get this. I mean, what a menial task just simply to go to a neighboring village and untie a donkey and bring him back. I think they might have felt slighted, a little bit like the Lord had given them something just real mundane, just real common to do. It was no great thing. Nobody would even really know they had done it or give them any credit for doing it. That's the way it looked. But I want to tell you something. Don't you realize now that after the fact and after the triumphant entry, those two disciples were forever known as the two that brought the donkey for Jesus to ride? Don't you think they had a story to tell? It looked like a menial task, but because it was for the Lord, it was no menial, mundane task. It was highly significant. It was the donkey that He would ride to say and declare that He was a Messiah in His triumphant entry. Amen. You know, I even thought of the owners that gave it up. I think they had a story to tell. I kind of even thought, you know, thinking in a Western capitalistic way of thinking, if the owner, after the fact, didn't pin that donkey up in Bethphage and charge people to see it. Come see the donkey that Jesus rode. That's the way we would think as capitalists, isn't it? I don't know why I thought about this, but for years, leaving Oklahoma, we would go to my grandmother's in Oregon, and almost every time we would cross Colorado, and I believe it's Highway 50. It's been so long since I've been out there. But not long into Colorado. Now, eastern Colorado is not pretty mountains. It's high desert-like area, high plateau. But there's a town called Lamar. And when we were young, every time we passed through that town, I believe it was on the left, there was a little pen out there right by the road, and there was a donkey in it. Every year he'd be there. So years later, we got married, and we're preaching a revival out in that area, and we drove through Lamar, and there was that donkey. I don't know if it's the same one. If it is, he's getting pretty old. But I just wonder, Brother Keith, if those owners didn't have a story to tell. People come to visit, and after a while, they, would you like to see the donkey? I got him in the barn. Something so insignificant. Getting a donkey, loaning a donkey. But it was significant because it was used for Jesus Christ. You may have guessed where I'm going with this. But if you are a child of God, everything you do in life is for Him. That makes it significant. Amen. You may go to work tomorrow. You may be a young mother that's simply raising your children every day. Tomorrow, how many knows you got to wash and vacuum, maybe change the oil on the car, maybe clean out the garage, maybe even in the church. Clean a van, pick up children, prepare a Sunday school lesson. all just menial, mundane things, except for one thing. It's not just a donkey. It's for the Lord. How many knows the apostle admonished us that whatsoever we do it for the glory of God. Hallelujah. You're not just washing dishes. You're doing something for the glory of God. That's what this is about. It was just a menial task. The donkey was, what's the big deal? Big deal is, we're talking about it today because of Jesus' triumphant entry. One other thing, and I'm going to go on to close, but we forget one other thing. That donkey was borrowed. Somebody had to take it back. Another menial task. But I think they'd learned by that time. If it's for the Lord, it's not a menial task. Doesn't that change everything about tomorrow? You're supporting your family. You're taking care of your kids. You're caring for a neighbor. All mundane things. But if you do it for the glory of God, that changes everything. Last of all tonight, it teaches us one more thing. God's word is always reliable, even in bad times. In Luke's account, after they had went to the village and loosed the colt and had the dialogue with the owners, what are you doing? The Lord hath need of him. And the owner said, go ahead and take him. Look what it says in verse 32. And they that were sent went their way, and they found, the events happened, even as he had said unto them. Everything that happened, happened exactly as the word of Jesus said it would happen. Now, I'm going to leave that there because, please listen to me, the Bible writers are trying to make a point. I am not making this up. They are trying to make a point. Because just days later, this week, a very similar situation happens. They're going to Jerusalem, as all Jews, because it's time to celebrate the Passover. But some of the disciples became concerned because they're visitors, they're pilgrims. And they said to Jesus, where are we going to have the Passover? Where are we going to eat the Passover meal? And Jesus said to them, called two of them, again, two of them. He said, here's what you do. Go into the city. And when you enter the city, you're going to run into a man carrying a vessel of water. Now, that was an indication because largely women of the time carried water. But they said, when you see a man with a vessel of water, and he was probably carrying it upon his head as they did, follow him. Don't you think that made that man uncomfortable? Just follow him. No words said. Two disciples followed him. And whatever house he goes into, I'm sure he went in rapidly and slammed the door behind him. Whatever house he goes into, go to that house and say to the master, or say to the owner of the house, and here's the words right here. Say to the owner of the house, the master saith, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? So the man with the water went in, shuts the door. Disciples knock and call. And so the owner comes and said, what do you want? The master says, the Lord says, where is that room where I'm going to eat the Passover with my disciples? Same as the story with the donkey. Some folks say, well, Jesus made prior arrangements. I don't think so. Because to make prior arrangements, you know, is to arrange it so the disciples, would it would all be worked out with the owner. But the disciples, did Jesus arrange for that man with the water to be walking along the road at that time? I'm talking about physically arrange. No. Jesus knew that man would be there. And he knew where he'd be headed. This was not happening by prior arrangement as far as on the physical level. This was something through the foreknowledge of our Lord. And it's a picture one more time that Jesus was in control of the situation. As far as we know, the owner of this house had no contact with Christ, had no intentions of providing a room, but it was also because Jesus knew when the disciples said to that man, the Lord wants that guest chamber, that he'd give it to him. And it was furnished. Another Bible writer says it was already furnished and prepared. It's another story to say, in the middle of the chaos, the Lord is in control of this. It's not insignificant. The Lord had it all arranged supernaturally. But the reason I shared that is because in Mark 14, verse 16, on this occasion, the disciples went forth, his disciples went forth, and came into the city, and the very same words as used with the story with the donkey, they came into the city and found as he had said unto them. It was exactly like Jesus said it would. That's two occasions on this Passion Week when Jesus said, you'll find it this way if you'll do this. And when they did it with the donkey and with the guest chamber, it was exactly as Jesus said it would be. What does the story tell us? It tells us in the middle of all the bad things that were happening the Passion Week, the word of the Lord was faithful and it was true. I want to tell you tonight, you will discover, even in bad times, folks are sick, financial reverses, things that are confusing and hard and harsh in your life, you're going to find that doesn't change the fact that His Word is faithful and true, and His promises are true. Some of you have been through some very difficult times, but I want you to know His Word is true. When He says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things shall be added unto you, His Word is true. If you seek His kingdom, these things are going to be added. Amen. Be faithful to Him. His Word will come true. Obey His Word. Amen. He will provide. You will overcome. He is coming back. It's going to be in our day as it was in theirs. Things are going to happen just as He said they would. That's what it is about the donkey. Would you come? Music tonight. In conversation, I've heard people say these things. All I do is, let's see if any of you have said this. All I do is take care of them kids from morning to night. All I do is fix broken cars. All I do is clean up messes. Have I hit anything yet? All I do is have to get up early every morning, go to work, come home, go to bed, and get up and go to work. All I do is come to church. All I do is pay my tithes. All I do is cook cookies for the kids in the back. All I do. You see, the enemy would like us to believe those are all menial things without significance. But I want you to know, amen, if they're done for the glory of God, they're not without significance. And when everything seems chaotic in your life, He is in control. And if you will trust, you will find His Word is true and it's faithful. Would you stand across this building? And so I can hear those disciples saying, all we did was go get the donkey. And yet theirs is an illustration of obedience and faithfulness to the Word of God. And they've showed us that God is in control. Ordinary actions matter, and the Word of God will be proved always true. So aren't you glad they went to get the donkey? Amen. Father, thank You that You speak to us through Your Word. And Lord, there are folks here tonight that need to know that, because things do look out of control in their life. Things do look like they're happening randomly to the bad. But God, I pray, Lord, tonight that they would realize that You're in control. But Lord, help each to do what they do for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know if I can agree with this, but Brother Lawrence, not the one that smuggled Bibles, but a monk years ago, he hated kitchen duty, so he volunteered for it because he hated it so bad. And he said, I learned to peel potatoes for the glory of God. That's a great attitude, isn't it? Amen. Would you come and pray tonight? If you're here with desperate need, I want you to believe you're not here by accident today. Amen. If you're here with the need of your heart and life, would you come and pray? Folks will pray with you. Amen. You're not here by accident. Your life may seem chaotic tonight, but the Lord is in control and He knows. He even can tame the situation. Tame the heart. Thank you. Oh, hallelujah. Would you like to come and pray tonight? Amen. Let God be in control. Do it as He has spoken. You'll find it as He said. Trust and obey. Would you believe that He's in control? Would you believe it does matter what you do? It's not just menial, mundane, random. Would you believe that His word is true? You'll find His word true. Trust in Him. You'll find His word faithful. It'll be as He has said it would be. It'll be that way for your life, your living, your future. It'll be as He has spoken. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Praise your name. The Lord said, the Lord hath need. The Master wants to know where the room's at. He's in control. Oh, hallelujah. Let's surrender in this altar tonight, Lord. I surrender my life. I surrender my situation. I surrender my need. I surrender my heart. I surrender my life. Oh, trust yourself with the Lord. Give yourself to the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. The Lord loves you tonight.